This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. And happily, well, as happy as you can be with an inch or so of snow, depending on where you're listening from. Happily again, reunited with the one and only Mermaid, live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia. It is the Mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes, hello, Gil. Feels really good to be back.
Yes. Happy to have you back. And I've been, you don't owe anybody an explanation, but I mean, obviously you've been busy with holiday doings and family matters. So just glad to be back. Just like the song goes, hey, I don't care where they've been, just glad they're back.
Yeah, no, and that's how I feel. I was like, God, it's just time to get back into some normalcy. But you've had some fantastic guests on, which is awesome. Always, I love to hear new people on and new perspectives, and that's always great.
Yeah, and the great thing about that is they've reached out to other people, and more people want to be on the show as a result of that. So, in the coming weeks, we're going to have a lot more of that, and hopefully that'll be like more of a regular thing as we get rolling here. So, especially towards a trade deadline and whatnot. So, yeah, that's awesome. But obviously, though, great to have you back.
Thank you.
And this week is going to be something of a different than usual week because I was actually at a game.
Yes,
so I got a unique perspective on that. Before I want to get into Caps action, though, I want to talk about some other hockey I saw last night, and that's the Premier Hockey Federation. Of course, that's the Women's Professional Hockey League here in North America. They had their All-Star game last night, and I got to tell you, that was a treat to watch. It was on ESPN Plus. For those of you lucky to have that. And they did something. So the format they had was they had 5-on-5 for the first 10 minutes and then 5 minutes of 3-on-3. And then they went to a shootout and they did something I'd never, ever seen it before. They let a goalie take a shot in the shootout, pads and all.
Awesome.
That was awesome to see. It's Carly Jackson of the Buffalo Buttes took the shootout she scored. Now, it looked like the goalie kind of sort of let it in, but it kind of squirted in. So either way, a goal is a goal. But yeah, that was awesome to see. NHL needs to do something like that. That would be
so awesome to see.
That would be super awesome. Old goalie in full pads running down the ice, taking a shot. That would be so cool. But yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Because yeah, that just made my night last night because that was just awesome. I just wanted to give some love to the PHF. All right, well, let's just get into it. It was three games, of course, mm-hmm. And well, unfortunately, the first two back to back regulation losses in a long time for our Caps. First of those games, well, not much to go over there. The Monday night game against the Golden Knights, and just one goal scored in that one. That was early on in the second period. Michael, it's a me, I'm Mario. Sorry, really bad joke there, but I had to get it out of the way. And yes, I did think of it before Japers Rink. Anyway, he scores. It's the only goal of the game, and I don't know. you can't really put any blame on anybody. Everybody did what they tried to do. And it was just one of those things where it's, you know, there was traffic in front. You do what you can. It was just a backhander and just a mess in front. And it ended up being the winning goal. And it wasn't a bad game played by the Caps. It was just one of those things. I mean,
well, it's just their goalie was damn hot that night. So
yeah. Leonard played out of his mind that night.
Yeah.
And just blocked everything that he saw, emphasis on what he saw. Not that the Caps made life all that difficult for him. They could have put, you know, more in front of his face. I think he would have had more problems with that had they done that. But
right.
You know, this just one of those games. I wasn't too upset afterward because this was just one of those games where it wasn't anybody's fault. Caps put 34 shots on goal. Of course, they stunk at the power play again. 0 for 5.
0 for 5. Yeah.
0 for 5. What's the O stand for? Oh my God! Somebody fixed the damn power play.
Seriously.
How many times are we going to say it? But other than that, nothing to complain about this game. Bit of a slow start, shot wise. Only 7 in the first period, but then they ramped it up. 13 and 14 in the last two. If I had one complaint about a guy, and I'm still, unfortunately, I'm still kind of schizophrenic about him because the good is he's still great about blocking shots. The bad, he's still a half step slow. And unfortunately, I'm talking about one of everybody's favorites, and that's Michael Kempney. Yeah. And he took a couple of bad penalties in this game, and that, I don't know, didn't look good on him for doing that.
But that hasn't been every game he's been in.
No, no, not so not every game.
He was definitely off this game.
Yeah,
this wasn't
one of his best.
No.
But yeah, I will say that. I mean, it hasn't all been bad. I do like the fact that he's been pretty good on the PK in Nick Jensen's absence. In blocking shots and all that. So he has been an asset as far as that goes. It's just, I don't know if he's ever going to be that 100% he was when they won the cup. And yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not like he did a horrible job or everything was his fault. It's just, he's still not quite there yet. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know if he's ever going to get there. I hope he does, but I don't know. Anyway, so we move on to the next game, and this was the game that I and a bunch of our friends attended live. As I mentioned, Brad Silvestro, who was on the show a while ago, and Mr. Grant Green.
That's so great. How cool was it to meet both of them and
oh, it was awesome. Oh, we met up at the Irish Channel restaurant across the street from Cap One, and I met him, the both of them. I met Lynn Christian Rieger, Cheryl Ann Forster. Both of them are going to be on the show in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Bruno De Lima Campos, we met him live in the chat that Grant hosted a year ago or so. And met a bunch of great guys.
Did you know, so Bruno, like he, when I was giving away those cap signs, I had like the extra
ones,
and he was one that wanted one. And right. I was like, yeah, no problem. And it winds up, I think he lives like Herndon or Ashburn, like whatever. But I wound up leaving it. Like he had left for, God, I think like he was going to a Nats game or something. And he had like left it on his doorstep. I was like, hope you get this kind of thing. But he was super polite, super like great, you know, just seemed like a very cool guy. So the whole
he was awesome.
Awesome. So
he was awesome.
And that's so great.
You and he and Jenny might want to get together to trade recipes because he was talking about all the stuff he would, you know, he'd make as far as dishes. And I don't know. It looked like it looked like him and Jenny were off in their own world, talking about
I would love to be part of that
cooking and stuff they did in the kitchen, dishes he'd make, and it was just an awesome time, and unfortunately they couldn't pull out the win, and I got to be honest with everybody, I was feeling a little under the weather, shall we say. I'm not going to go into gory details, so I couldn't quite see all of the game live, but I caught enough of it. What I did see, of course, along with everybody else, I didn't like. Yeah. This one, okay, so unlike the Vegas game, this one, the first period,
not happy.
Well, the first period, well, what can you say? I mean, I'm not going to lie, it sucked. First period absolutely sucked.
Yep.
And because for the first 15, 16 minutes or so, it just looked like they were too scared when they got the puck. They were too scared, couldn't figure out what they were doing with it. Ovechkin looked like he was in pain or hurt or slowed down by something. Kuznetsov looked off. They all looked off. It was just sad to see. They just couldn't get anything going. And then it's like a light bulb turned on with 3-4 minutes left. Then they started piling up shots. They ended up getting, how many was it? They started with none in the first 7 or 8 minutes. They ended up getting a total of 8 by the end of the period. But by then, San Jose had piled up 14 and also scored one. Guy I never heard of before, Noah Gregor, got his second of the year, of course, assisted by Brent Burns on the primary assist. You kind of expected that.
Yeah, I like Bernie.
But, I just a really, really suck-ass start. And then
it was, and I will say I have, I think I posted it on our PowerPoint. Yeah, no, I did. There's a picture of a drawing from a third grader.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's very, very sweet and very, like, very, into the Capitol. So he always comes to my door every morning to show off his attire or what he's wearing or whatever else. But he said I think he had missed the Knights game, was going to see the Sharks game, and was so excited to see it. And when he came in the next day, I was like, well, that was awful. And I was like, yeah, that was that. That's the very PG way to say, yeah, because that's not what I was saying last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, they did. They looked off. They looked like they were playing as if they had flown to San Jose and were kind of in that, West Coast jet lag game. They usually, I feel like there's 3 games and they usually play great for 2, but not the first or whatever it is. But like, this was just like, what the hell, guys? Where are you?
Yeah. And I don't know. I hated everything I was watching, and Grant was actually right next to me, and he had the seat next to me in our section. And yeah, I learned a lot of new Scottish curse words that night, none of which I'm going to repeat now because they've all fallen out of my head, and I don't want to embarrass myself, but that, and everybody hates accents except for Grant, ironically enough.
Of course.
But a lot of, well, I'll do this one. Parts up your ass. He did. Well, the one guy though, who was trying, I'll say this, Fedavari. Lots of that. Wow. Fedavari.
I could listen to the accent, not yours, his. No offense.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. But I don't know. It took them way too long to wake up in this game. And then, okay, so we're in the second period. Another guy I'd never heard of, Nicholas Melosh, he gets his first, I think, ever, assisted by Matt Nieto, 3:58 in the second. This one, I think, You can blame Samsonov was the starting goaltender in this one. I think maybe you can blame. I think Samsonov just flat out missed this one from what I saw anyway, at least when I saw the replays. But yeah, that if that first goal didn't, you know, kill things, that second one certainly did. And then Caps put up something of a fight, but nothing really sustained. And I don't know. It just more of the same. And then the third period came and we got some life. 14 seconds in, Daniel Sprong, insert sound effect here, with his seventh, Nicholas Backstrom, his seventh assist of the year, got them back in. Look, I've been a defender of Coach Laviolette all the year long. Well, the whole time he's been here, actually, I got to take him to task. Why in the hell was Daniel Sprong with a healthy scratch? If you can answer that for me, you're smarter than I am.
Yeah, for three games, right?
For three whole games, yeah.
Yeah. So that, to me, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I did not agree with.
Yeah, are you effing kidding me is about how I would describe it. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is he did something unnatural with his pets or something. I don't know. But why? I don't get it. I don't get it. And then he goes and starts a period with that sweet wrister right off the face-off. 14 seconds in, crowd comes alive, and finally have something to cheer for. And then another San Jose goal. Jonathan Dahlin. I wonder if he's related to Ulf. I think he's Ulf's son or nephew or something like that. Who used to play for the Caps all those years ago. I'll have to look that up later. But yeah, he scores with just over 3 minutes remaining in the third, kicks the air out of the tires again. Timo Meier and Nick Bonino on the assist on that one. 3 minutes left in the period, and that's, yeah. We kind of knew what was going to happen after that. Caps had ramped up the pressure after that, but you just kind of knew. And then Andrew Cogliano with his fourth with the empty netter, Logan Couture with the assist on that one to ice it, making it 4-1 with 21 seconds left. And then after the final buzzer, I mean, I wasn't going anywhere because I kind of like letting the crowd, whenever I go, I let the crowd ahead of me, you know, let it thin out. Then I leave, and, you know, because I like hanging around anyway. But I'm glad I did, because 10, 15 seconds after the buzzer, hoo boy. Hathaway, yeah. Right? Nice little fight there with Hathaway. And yeah, gets a guy named Jonah Gadjevich. And I don't know who started it, and I don't care, but the whole crowd that we were with, I forgot to mention, sorry, Curtina. I forgot to mention Curtina Sharp, who and her husband Pete, who actually organized the whole trip with a bunch of us art out there. So yeah, want to thank her especially. Sorry, I didn't mention you earlier, Curtina. But yeah, she didn't. She was the only one I think in our row who didn't want to see that because she didn't want to see Hathaway hurt. And I kind of get where she was coming from, because Hathaway was kind of shaking his hand.
Yeah.
After that fight, and I thought when I saw that, oh God, we don't need another forward out.
No.
Especially for that. I get what he was trying to do, and I love that he was doing it, and I love that he was telling the team, "Hey, we're not going to sit here and take this crap."
But still,
yeah. I mean, there's other ways to do that, and if you want to do that during the game, and I don't know. I get why he did it, but just luckily he made it to the next game. But I saw him with his hand. And he was like, "Oh God, did he hurt himself?" And I'm just imitating myself. Thinking out loud, did he hurt himself? Yeah. And I could have sworn he had, but he made it to the next game. But yeah. Curtina was behind me screaming, "Don't do that BS, don't do that bullshit. Don't do that.
But she's right. It's like, you know, the game's over. There's no point. Like, again, appreciate his loyalty to the team, of course. But at this point, it's not worth a broken hand, a broken finger, no. a sprained wrist, whatever it is, because we need him. Because he's been fucking awesome lately.
He has. So, he has. And that's why, you know, some questioned it, criticized it. The one move I won't criticize is his brief time on the top line. You know, they were in a drought. They had to shake things up. I get that. So, you know, he did click at least for a little bit with Ovechkin.
Right.
You know? So, like I said, you got to try something. It obviously didn't work, so he didn't stay there. But, you know, I do get that sometimes you got to shake it up. So I'm not going to task him for that. But, I mean, come on. You got to start playing the guys who get it on net and shoot and can score like Sprong. So really want to see – I want to see more, you know, I want to see more Daniel Sprong in this lineup going forward.
I do too, because his speed is sick.
Yes.
Honest to God. Like, and I see, you know, when he's off the ice and if they have a chance to kind of, you know, like pan the bench there, man, if he's scored whatever he's still intense. It's still there. He's like 110% shit mind in the game for the whole time. And when he doesn't do something he likes, he's as well, kind of as, you know, worst and best critic in that moment. You know, he's just like, God damn it. And,
exactly. You know. Exactly.
But that intensity is there, but man, the speed. Oh, like that's what we need. And I was like, why the hell would you be a healthy scratch for 3 games and then come back and score when he goes in? So come on now. So.
Right. You know, and okay, you want to teach him a lesson, sit him out for a game, but when you're in a scoring drought, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta have something like that.
Agreed.
In your arsenal, you know, I just hoping we'd seen the last of that. Anyway, so, back-to-back losses for the first time all year and since before the end of last season, which leads us to the Friday night game against Dallas in Dallas at, I believe it's American Airlines Center, and against an old friend, Braden Holtby, and bittersweet, more sweet than bitter, bitter than sweet, name that song and claim it. But true enough, I think most of us wanted to see a goalie duel between Vanecek and Braden Holtby, and Caps come out maybe 1-0 with a 1-0 win in like the shootout or something.
Right, right.
That wasn't going to happen, it didn't happen. I'm glad the Caps won. I'm glad they won the way they won because it means the offense is back.
Right.
I'm not happy with who they did it against, but
yeah, that was, you know, hard.
Shit happens, as they say. Let's just get to it. 129 the first. Who breaks the recent power play drought? And I've been saying it all bloody year. Get this guy in front of the net. Let him take over. You see what he can do. Yep. Tom Wilson, his 13th. Backstrom and Kuznetsov, I'm playing the video because this was a sight to see. Where was Tom in this sequence? He was right where he should be and is supposed to be in the low slot and got himself open for a one-timer from, it was Backstrom and Kuznetsov on the assists. But you got two guys that can find the guy. Okay, so I'm looking at the replay. Carlson throws it in. They're playing with it. And, yeah, from the right circle, the low part of the right circle. Look, the thing that people forget about Tom Wilson is that he has a shot.
The babe.
He has a shot, okay? The guy has scored upwards of 20 goals a year and can get more if he had more opportunities, all right? I think that and a lot of the guys and gals that were with us, they all had the same opinion. Maybe, you know, you stop feeding it to Ovi. Maybe you don't think that he's the only option on the power play. Maybe you look at other options. And as much as that pains me to say, because that's, you know, that's his wheelhouse. That's his position. That is the power play point. Yeah, it's gotten completely predictable. Everybody in the league knows how to stop it now. It doesn't matter that, you know, he's, you know, fallen into the fountain of youth again. It doesn't matter. They know it's coming now. They know how to stop it. They know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So you got to shake it up. And I really love that if you look at the replay, he charged the net. You had Wilson going to the net. And at the same time, you had Ovi practically standing at the far post. So, mm-hmm. Yes, more of that, please. Much more
exactly.
Of that. And exactly. Yeah, that gotta, you know, gotta get everybody involved. And great to see Tommy get on the scoreboard for goals, as well as assists. So yeah, love that he's gotten power play time. Although whenever Oshie comes back, that's probably be a lot less. He'll probably end up on the second unit, but. I mean, that's the idea. You need that guy in the middle, that what they call the bump position. You need that guy in the middle who will cause traffic and go for that rebound. And as long as he do that, I think they'll be fine. They just haven't done much of it. Too much patty cake on the outside. And I wish they would stop that. But anyway, let's see. So 6.5 minutes later, 7:54 in the first, they get another power play. And it was John Carlson with his ninth, Kuznetsov and Backstrom again on the assists. Another power play goal. You liked one, well, you got two. And twice is always nice, as they say. And, yeah, the Caps were pretty much rolling, which if you saw the first minute of the game, you didn't think, because when they scored that goal, Dallas actually scored the first goal, but it was called back due to an offsides. And,
right.
Al Kokin and Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan all saw it. Ovechkin and Vanecek both looked at each other and they said, oh God, here we go again. But when that goal got called back, it was actually a weight lifted off their shoulders and they were pretty rolling. When they got the power play, they made it count. So I'm really glad that they, you know, hopefully have fixed it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
we'll see. No. So let's see. We're still in the first period, and it is about just over five minutes later. But who should score? Set your DVR to TVR, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, his first of the year, actually. And Connor McMichael and Herndon's own Joe Snively on the assist for that one. And I like Snively. I think they should play him
too.
More. Every time he plays, something good happens.
True.
So I think he should get more of a shot because, even if he only gets like 5, 6, 7 minutes a game, something good happens whenever he plays. You know, he's always out there making stuff happen, stirring the game up in a good way. So I'm not one of these guys that I'm not one of these guys that said, well, play the rookies just because. Well, I think Snively's actually one of these guys that has earned his ice time. So I think you give him – you know, 8 or 9 minutes a game, I think you can expect a lot from him. That was good. All right, so on to the second period, 12:03 in, and the route's on. Connor McMichael with his sixth, Lars Eller, and and Schultz, rather, on the assist on that one. And, the route's on, and you kind of knew – it was going to be a bad night for poor Braden Holtby at that point.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are you going to do by then? That was, let's see. Okay. So that was 27 shots. They ended up getting in his two periods of work, 19 of them in the first 19.
Jesus.
Yeah. And you want to say, oh, that's great. But where the hell was this the last 3-4 weeks?
Exactly. I mean, this was totally extreme from, like, the Vegas game, the Sharks game. It was like, meh, meh. And then all of a sudden this. It's like, holy shit. Come on, guys. Let's play like this more often.
Yeah, really. And so the last one, of course, was 16:50 with Backstrom getting his third. I love seeing that, too, because, like I said last week, Backstrom is inching ever so closely back to being 100%. So this was even more evidence of that. Orlov on the assist for that one, 5-0, and they let Holtby finish out the period. But yeah, that would be all for that. And then that finished out the scoring, of course. They named Backstrom the number one star of the game, goal and two assists. Connor McMichael, second star, and Vanacek, the third star.
Nice.
Now, I just want to kind of square this away because it was something that Brad and Blake and I all talked about last week as one of the key elements to the goaltending situation. They do really need to name a number one. I would say based on not just results, but the way that he's played, I would say that as of right now, Vitek Vanacek should be the number one.
Agree.
I think the Caps just seem to play better in front of him. And he's got their confidence, and that's it, when you're a goalie, that's everything. So I just wanted to spit that out there in terms of that argument. All right, so there you have it. That was the week that was on the ice. Two bad games, one really bad one, and then finished up with a really great finish. So hopefully they're back and rolling now. I really hope they maybe start to get, with this long rest, maybe one or two of the guys that are on the injured list back.
Be nice.
Yeah, and I really like Jenny said something about this while we were at the Sharks game, but I really hope, I agree, I kind of hope we see more of Sherry and Sprong on the same line together.
Yes,
they make a lot of things happen. So you got one who won't stop going to the net, and you got another one who can't stop shooting at the net. So between those two things, hopefully you got something going on here.
Some kind of good balance going on.
Some kind of good that's going to happen as a result of that. But yeah, I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you guys listening out there, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, as to why they were playing so badly. Hopefully this is the end of it. I don't know. Maybe they haven't broken all the bad habits, but maybe they have. And I think it's the Dallas game was at least a little preview of something we'll be seeing later. You know, Teemu Selanne once said sometimes scoring goals in hockey is like trying to get ketchup out of a glass bottle. You smack the hell out of it and nothing will come. And then you tip it ever so slightly. And then all of a sudden you have a sea of red in your lap. So, you know, and that's maybe that's what happened here. And I was talking to Cheryl Forster the other day, and we were talking about what we saw, and we were discussing it. It just looked like they were too much. They were thinking too much, especially Kuznetsov, and maybe too focused on seeing into the future and making the playoffs. But most of all, maybe they're kind of holding back because, well, they were holding back. They were in what I call mid-season preservation mode because they don't want to, you know, put themselves out there too much. But when you're fighting for points in a really competitive division, you kind of have to.
Right.
So
I just don't know.
You don't know. And I hope they've gotten out of that bad habit. We'll see, but you never know. But you know, and unfortunately, they lost a lot of points against teams they really could have, you know, done well against and collected from, at least loser points anyway. But unfortunately, you can't put that Twinkie back in the wrapper again. So you're just gonna have to deal with what you've lost. Now, taking a look at the standings, fortunately, the Caps did manage to get, because we're at the halfway point as of last week anyway. So taking a look at the standings, the Caps did collect a lot of points and did well for themselves. Still have a 633 points percentage, good enough for the first wildcard spot. That's where they're at right now, 4 points ahead of Boston for the last wildcard spot, sitting in fourth place in the Metro, 4 points behind Pittsburgh, who has caught lightning in a bottle, so to speak.
Yeah,
but a lot of you listeners out there, I guess, you know, we're kind of worried about the Caps not making the playoffs. I get that. But again, when you look at the standings, Detroit is 13 points behind the Caps right now. And the next closest competitor is another 5 points behind them. That's Columbus. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, Yes, if the Caps play really, really bad, there's a chance. I don't see them doing that, though. And on top of that, Detroit and Columbus are going to need to get on a streak hotter than the fires of hell and damnation itself to catch the Caps. And even with Verana supposed to be making his way back to the lineup any day now for the Wings, I don't see that happening. I just don't. They're just not playing well enough or consistently enough. So I don't think they're going to get caught. As long as they get their game back and at least play decent hockey, I'm not too worried about it. What do you think?
I agree with you. I just feel like, you know, the team has been so inconsistent because of COVID, because of this, because of that, but they've also rallied so well with, you know, everything against them that it's like, okay, well, once we start to get into the groove, like you had just said, Backstrom coming back, you know, to start, you know, Sprong, the Snively, like the everyone kind of making a name for themselves, get that groove going, and then just then they can be unstoppable, you know. But I think it's like they just, it was just how everyone's life is with the pandemic. You've got, you know, some shit against you and you just have to overcome it. And I think with this team, it's, you know, they had two shitty games and they had an outstanding game. So let's ride that wave for a while.
Yeah, exactly. I think they can, just like you said, I think they build a lot of momentum off of that game. And I'll say this about Braden Holtby. What does it say about a guy? A guy just scores on you and you're sitting on the bench. And yeah, he's probably disgusted with himself and disgusted with the result. But what does it say about a guy? A guy just on the other team scores on you. And, you know, 10 minutes later, you're talking about the kids. And
that's why, I mean, I will say, like, you all know, I mean, it's like, I just, there's just something about Braden Holtby, like just as a person, he's a human who is just, it just seems so outstanding and such a good guy. And there's so much respect there for him that, you know, I'd love to have him back. I would like I would like to have VTech and Holtby be our goalies.
Well, yeah. That'd be great.
I just think he brings something to the team, whether it's a calmness or a zen quality or just whatever. But yeah, the fact that him and Backstrom are there talking about family and kid and not talking about, you know, him being benched or the game at all, just getting just human to human. And I think that there's so much respect there and I just love it.
Yeah, and I get that there's a quality with bringing in a veteran goalie and just like you said, maybe being something of a mentor, helping, you know, whoever's left being, you know, bring out their human side a bit. Yeah. And, you know, figuring out how to relate to others. And that's one of those, you know, intangibles, the things you can't wrap your hand around that a team needs. And unfortunately it's too much of a matter of, well, how much can we afford? And, I hate to say, but Holtby may be one of those that's out of the price range as of right now, if they even decide to make a deal.
Of course.
So unfortunately, that's, you know, a little out of their hands, but it'll be interesting to see if they make that deal. I'm still not totally on board with getting a veteran. I still think, you know, one of these two guys is bound to break out. And I think we're already starting to see that now and be the guy. But I think coaching has to figure out that, you know, that is happening in front of them and then push them and then getting the rest of the team to believe. And that might be the start of something, but that's just me. I wouldn't be altogether opposed to bringing in a Holtby or even, well, if we can afford it. But again, there's no way. Marc-Andre Fleury, no. Do the math. It ain't going to happen. But I mean, somebody, the guy we were talking about last week, James Reimer, saw him up front and in person, yeah. And
for the Sharks,
he's been doing pretty well, and I saw a lot from him that I liked that night when I was, well, I didn't like it, but
admired his,
you know,
his
what I mean,
skills,
yeah. Anyway, so somebody like that who's, you know, we could probably get for a lot cheaper than a Holtby or a Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe. Again, so I'm just floating that out there. But I don't have
Fleury even on my radar, to be honest.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Holtby ain't going to happen.
who knows if he really wants to come back and play a year and retire or whatever. He loves DC. He always says this is, you know, it's his home. You know, who knows? Maybe we will see him, and that would just be, I don't know. I just, there's something about having him come back that I just think would be amazing, but I get it. All right. So moving on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It'd be nice. It'd be nice, but I mean, that's like, yeah, you know, I don't know, champagne problems, I guess. Nice problem to have. Anyway, okay, so previews of coming attractions. Going to be a short week hockey-wise, only two games, but they happen to be back-to-back. First of the month in the whatever the hell that building is called, that crappy-ass building they play in Pittsburgh. I don't even know, want to know what it's called. But it's a road game against the Penguins, a 7 o'clock puck drop, 1st of February, and then back to the friendly confines of Capital One, 7 o'clock puck drop, 24 hours later, against the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McJesus and Herr Goalmeister himself, Leon Draisaitl. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Mm-hmm. And then they're off like a whole flipping week and until they play the next game that next Tuesday against the Blue Jackets, also at home. And then they go north of the border to play the Canadiens, and then they're off another couple days till their next round of games.
But is this app, I know you and I are looking at the same thing, but is this one updated? Because remember, didn't they have to add a bunch of games?
Yeah. No, that was that right. The Columbus and the Montreal games, yeah, they added them.
No, it just doesn't feel like I thought, like, my God, when I was first reading, I'm like, they're going to be playing, like, you know, so much more than I thought. And then but I'm looking at the calendar now, I'm like, well, it's, you know, looks kind of the same.
Yeah, it's, well, it looks the same as they would, you know, kind of play on average. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the Caps only had like four or five games canceled. So it works out. And they moved up one of these games that they're playing the next couple of weeks. They were actually going to play at the end of the year, but they had to reschedule one of the games that was canceled to that day.
Right.
So, yeah, it does look a little funny. There's a whole lot of days off, but it is right. They did fill in the 2 week, what was going to be the 2 week break for the Olympics.
Right. Right.
With those five games. So yeah, it's a bit of a cluster F, but not so much when, you know, in the long run. So, okay. So I think that will do it for this week. Anna, is anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for the little break. And thank you to everybody who filled in. The shows were fantastic, and hope to all meet everybody soon, or at least here on the show with us. Yeah, and I'm going to be pulling for those Niners in a little bit.
Go 49ers!
Because now, like, I mean, oh my God, Bengals Chiefs tied. Like, who saw this coming going Boy. Into overtime? But that what makes a very exciting any kind of sport. But
yeah, we got the great time to be a sports fan. Got the final four in the NFL and the run up to the playoffs going on in hockey.
Yeah.
And yeah, great time to be a sports fan. So
yes, it is.
Enjoy. So, okay, so we're going to wrap it up. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that, well, I took a game of peekaboo a little too far with my nephew the other day. And, ended up hurting myself. Went to the hospital. Guess where they put me? The ICU.
Okay.
Didn't miss that, did you?
I didn't. I did not. But hopefully your other guest host laughed their asses off.
Hopefully. Maybe. Hopefully. Who knows? Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.